This thing work? Hello, hello. Can you hear me? All right. Yeah, it sounds like it's on. Could use a corded mic, but it's like the little boy was saying. Preacher had one of them mics there walking back and forth across up here, and little boy looked at his daddy. There we go. It never is easy to do this. Every time the Lord gives me the opportunity to talk like this, I don't look forward to it, but I look forward to it because I learned so much for myself. I enjoy doing it somewhat in a sense just because I've always tell people, if you never try something in your life, you never know what it's like. So it's hard to do, and that's why I have so much, every time I have to study like this, I have so much respect for our ministers that do this on a weekly basis, because it's your weeks leading up to this are different. Ministers go through a lot that they do, and I if you just do it one time in your life, you'll know what they go through when they get prepared to share a sermon. We so often get bogged down with, oh, well, this guy, this preacher, he's doing this. I don't like the way he does this. I don't like the way he does that. But put yourself in their shoes one time. They go through a lot. Stories told of a minister one day who was doing a baptism at the local river. He was down there baptizing these young people, and this man come stumbling down the bank there. He walked up there and just stood beside the river, and the minister kind of looked at him. He could tell he had been out drinking all night. He was intoxicated. And he said, "Sir, would you like to find Jesus today?" He said, he just kind of shook his head, and he said, "Come out into the river with me." So man walked out there, stumbled out there. Preacher grabbed him, stuck his head under the water, brought him up, said, "Did you find Jesus?" He said, "No." So he stuck his head under again, brought him back up. "Please tell me, you found Jesus." "Nah." Preacher's getting a little irritated by this time. He stuck his head under and held him under there for about 30 seconds and brought him up. The man was coughing and spitting. And preacher said, "Did you find Jesus?" He said, "No, Pastor, but are you sure this is where he fell in at?" So ministers go through a lot. Sometimes they get accused of things and are misinterpreted, so you have to bear with them sometimes. Last week I had the privilege of just an interesting thing that happened in my life. I played ball in Greenwood, softball last Saturday, and played with a team from North Carolina that is a ministry team, similar to what we do as Shiloh, but they travel a little bit more. And it was just kind of neat the way everything went about. After each game, they have basically like a little church service with each team. And that day, last Saturday, the big storm came up in Greenwood there, and we had just finished. It was lightning, it was thundering, it was raining. I wanted to get off the field. I was like, surely this guy ain't going to make us go through this little service again here, because like, ain't nobody going to pay attention. It's raining, and we're getting wet. And he asked everybody, he said, "It won't take but a minute." He said, I just feel that, you know, we can't walk off this field without me sharing a little bit to you guys." And he explained who the team was and what they did. And he shared it, gave his testimony, a short testimony of his life, and went on talking about that someday we're all going to meet Jesus, and that everybody in this group that was standing out there better know who Jesus was in a relationship-based with God. And so he said, "I'm going to pray a prayer." He said, "You don't have to pray it out loud." He said, "But if you really want to meet Jesus today," he said, "I know it's lightning in the distance." He said, "The thunder's rolling here." He said, "But if you really want to meet Jesus, just pray this prayer after me." So he prayed the prayer. And then when he was done, he said, "If any of you prayed that prayer," he said, "I'd like to just see your hand. I'd like to talk to you afterwards." And four guys raised their hand to said that they had accepted Jesus with him. And I seen him talking to several of them afterwards. But it was just the song that went through my head that day was, you know, I'll praise you in this storm. That storm was rolling on, and I wanted to get off that field before it ever started, because I thought, you know, everybody's going to be ready to get off this field. But God, it's just amazing how when we let God have control, what things He does, and it was something to see. It was a neat. And that kind of brought me to just kind of tied everything together with what went on there, and also a little bit of what I was going to talk on. I can't take credit for everything. Some of it, I had heard a message in Ohio several months back. It kind of, a combination of things I've been thinking on and things I've heard, and I just kind of said, this is what God wants me to tell the people at Shiloh this morning and the people here. So what I'd like to look at a little bit is, you know, there's so many gods to follow, so-called gods. People say there is. You have religions, seem like they're popping up daily. People believe, you know, you're Mormons, you're Hindus, you're Buddhists. But what is it about us as Christians that's different? Our God is different than anybody else, than any other religion. What is it? What sets us apart? What sets a Christian apart? What is one thing that nobody else can say about their God? I want to just hear from y'all on this. What is one thing? And I don't want none of the ministers to answer it. Somebody else. Our God is alive. There is no other religion that you will find that their God is alive. And how would you feel to know that the person you're praying to, they put him in the grave and that's where he still is laying? So many people do that. So many people, that every day they go about so-called their life worshiping a person who died and is dust. I mean, it is nothing left of that person, but it is just something that's one thing a Christian, and we have as Christians, is our God is still alive. Someday, we're all going to go see Jesus. many people long for that day just to see Jesus. Did you hear last week there was a new survey came out? I don't know if any of you seen it or not, but they did a survey, said that 4 out of every 4 people are dying. 4 out of 4. No, if you believe there's a survey like that, there's... But it's the truth. Nobody lives forever. 4 out of 4 people are going to die. So many people, as they're getting on in age, they might have been battling health problems, cancer, whatever. They just long for that day when they can go see Jesus. Us as young people, we're all relatively young. We kind of look at it as something that's out here. But so many people just say, man, I'm ready to see Jesus. And we're all going to face that day one day. And that's my scripture text this morning is coming out of 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13. And I did not get him to put it up on the screen this morning. I said we would go old school. These things here, you can buy them in a store. They're called Bibles. Still the number one selling book in America. 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 13. And then the heading of mine here says the coming of the Lord. It's a little section, verse 13 through the end of the chapter is where I'm going to be reading here. It says, brothers, we do not want you to be ignorant about those who have fallen asleep or to grieve like the rest of men who have no hope. We believe that Jesus died and rose again, and so we believe that God will bring with Jesus those who have fallen asleep in Him. According to the Lord's own word, we tell you that we who are still alive, who are left till the coming of the Lord, we will certainly not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord Himself will come down from heaven with a loud command, the voice of the archangel and the trumpet of the Lord. And the trumpet call of the Lord. I'm going to stop here just a second. Mikey just happened to mention the Big Bang Theory this morning. And I got to thinking, I said, right here's where the Big Bang Theory belongs. Doesn't that sound like a Big Bang to you? Trumpet of the Lord. So when somebody asks you believe in the Big Bang Theory, you can tell them, yeah, but just not in the same way they might. And the dead in Christ will rise first. After that, we who are still alive and are left will be caught up together with them in the clouds and to meet the Lord in the air. And so will we be with the Lord forever. Therefore, encourage each other with these words. The title of it says, The Coming of the Lord. We know that. The Lord's coming. First couple verses says, brothers, which means Shiloh, which means Wendell. It says, don't be ignorant to these things. It means learn these things. One thing I had to think of, it says in the middle of the chapter, on that day, the first people to arise come from where? The graves. I had just had to think, it would be neat to have a camera in the face of a person who says there is no God, who says God, Jesus, is just a good story, the Bible is not real, who says it's just a good man, he was a good prophet, but Jesus was never God, God is never God, that's just a myth. To see that person on this day driving down the road past a graveyard when all these people come up out of these graves. Because let me tell you, at that time, one thing's going to happen. He will believe on that day. It may be too late, but he will believe in what everything he denied his whole life. Because nobody on that day will be able to deny what it says right here, that we are going to meet in the air with God. Encourage each other with these words is the last sentence it has there, and that's what I'm going to do today. I think that's what we need to do as brothers in Christ, is encourage each other more often than what we have been, because death is something we look forward to. We think it's a scary thing, but when you're right with God and you're ready to meet Jesus, it's a wonderful thing. There's nothing more a Christian should look forward to than meeting Jesus. When we read this chapter about meeting God, we think so often, you know, I'll just wait, but, you know, 1 Corinthians 15:52 says in the twinkling of an eye. It doesn't say in the blink of an eye, it says in the twinkling of an eye, which I believe is quicker than blinking. It's going to be too late, that's it. So once that day comes, it's nothing that can be done then. So we need to be ready for that there. When we talk about so often, people say, are you ready? We're going to meet God. Who are they talking about when we say, who's going to be there? I had to think about it. Who's going to be there? Who will be there in heaven? Dwayne, he's going to be there. Marlon, he'll be there. Ruth Martin, she's going to be there along with Ruth from the Bible. They'll both be there. Michael Jordan, he's going to be there. David Hershberger, he'll be there. David from the Bible, he's going to be there. Eric will be there. Emmanuel, he's going to be there. And Moses from the Bible, they might be standing side by side. Can you imagine the stories them two could tell? They're both going to be there. Sarah from the Bible, she's going to be there. Sarah Palin, she'll be there. Elvin, he's going to be there. Barack Obama, he's going to be there. We don't want them two standing side by side. The Jonas Brothers, all three of them, they're going to be there. Joe Montana, he'll be there. Jacob, he's going to be there. Jacob in the Bible is going to be there. All these people are going to be there. You know who else is going to be there? I'm going to be there. You know who else? All of you are going to be there. It's the only one thing, it's the only meeting in our life that will not get canceled. We are all going to meet Jesus someday. Let me rephrase. Let me say that again. It is the only meeting in our life that won't get canceled. We have so many things that depend in our life on if we're going to live or not. This is not one of the things that if. We make plans for building big houses down the road. We make plans for going on big family vacations. These are all good. These are all fine. We make plans in retirement. But they all depend on one thing, whether we're going to live or not. I had to think, Gary made a plan to go to Mongolia this year. It depended on one thing, whether he was going to live or not. God had other plans for him. We all have plans like this. They depend on one thing. But yet we do not plan on the thing that is certain in our life, and that is someday we're going to die and meet Jesus. Praise the Lord. And I had to think, we plan for retirement. Every quarter you get a piece of paper in the mail that says, got all a list of what you don't have or what you do have. It tells you what you've given in the last month, quarter, year. It tells you what you can look forward to. I had to think, what if heaven were to send us a letter every month that would say what we have planned for when our real retirement comes? Would the paper look something like that? Empty? What's on your portfolio for when you pass away, when you go to meet Jesus, when we go to meet Jesus? It ain't going to be blank, is it? Hopefully none of ours will be blank. Or as we live, hopefully none of ours is blank. It's something that, and it's not easy. This is something it's not an easy subject to share, you know, just the whole thing of death, because none of us look forward to it, but it's something that what's going to happen, and it's exciting. You know, the first one I got looking at this, I was like, man, no, I don't. This is not what God wants me to share. And the more and more the weeks went on and things happened, and I just kept thinking, you know, this is what God wants me to share. And the more and more I got into it, it was like the more and more excited I got about it. I was like, you know, this is something to look forward to meet Jesus. You know, like I say, we've got a plan for these things in our life. You've got a plan for when you die. Because on that day, when we meet Jesus, there'll be people at your feet. There'll be people at my feet begging, please tell me what you have. Please, you know, put in a good word for me. I don't want to go where these people over here are going. You know, please, it'll be too late. We have our chance now. It'll be too late when that day comes. It don't matter who you are. I said Michael Jordan's going to be there. He will be. He can walk up there with all six of his world championship basketball rings, one on each finger there. Say, look what I got. Six NBA rings, something nobody else has besides some of his teammates. Does this count for anything? Nah. Doesn't matter. Them rings will melt just as fast as plastic will. Bill Gates, he can walk up there. I'm worth $53 billion. I've got more money than anybody could spend in a lifetime. Here, let me make a big donation. Won't matter. It's just paper. Me and you can walk up there. You know, every time a evangelist come in from Africa, Jamaica, Mongolia, I always gave some of my money. I always helped out in Bible school. Every time the church doors were open, I was there. Will that matter? Nah. It all depends on what you have here in relationship with Jesus. All them things will follow your relationship with Jesus, and they are all good things. But if your heart ain't right, It ain't going to matter. It's just like Bill Gates and all his money. Doesn't matter how much money he can flash on that day. Ain't going to matter. So is our hearts right? Is it all ready? Because Amos 4:12 says, prepare to meet thy God. Are we ready? I mean, think about it. Are we ready? Am I ready? Are you ready? Because one thing's for certain, and that is we will, and it'll be a glorious day. Let's stand. Dear Lord, thank you again that someday, through the clouds, you will come and take us home. And we look forward to that day, Lord. We ask, Lord, that you just help us to be ready for this day. We know, Lord, sometimes it scares us a little bit to think about dying, but Lord, it's when a Christian thinks about dying and meeting Jesus face to face, it's a wonderful thing. There's no more pain, no more sorrows, no more problems here on earth. We just thank you that we can look forward to this day. Help us to encourage our brothers around us, whatever instance they may be going through. Help that we may hold their hand and lead them closer to you through this here. Thank you for your wonders, miracles you've done for us already. Keep us in your care this week. In Jesus we pray. Amen.